Coming up on this week's show, we'll be chatting with singer and songwriter and rocker Ed Roman, and he's going to share with us his new single, Am I Love, from his new album. But first, sports fans, let's head on over to the Sports Corner with Clint, and we're going to be talking about the NBA championship. Did the Golden State Warriors really put in the effort to win it, or was it time for the Cavaliers to finally become champions? We'll find that all out as soon as we come back. You're listening to the What's Up Cindy B radio show.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
Give me a math quiz.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer. Visit feedingamerica.org/summermeals to find your local food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the What's Up Cindy B radio show. It is time to go to the sports corner with our favorite commentator, Clint. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Miss Cindy B?
I am doing great. All right, so let's bite the bullet and talk about what happened in the NBA championship. Now, did the Golden State Warriors really put in the effort, or what happened?
You know, a lot of analysis has obviously gone into this because it's very rare that you have a team that is the best team throughout the regular season and then doesn't win a championship. It's even rarer that you have a team that not only was the best team throughout the regular season but sets the record as the best team ever throughout the regular season and then didn't finish it with the championship. You know, Steph Curry was obviously the league MVP, almost unanimous decision. It may have been a unanimous decision for league MVP, and that was awarded to him before the postseason started. His seven-game performance against the Cavaliers was the worst ever from a league MVP in a finals. And his, you know, seven-game performance against Oklahoma City before that was not that great either. His numbers compared to the regular season are way down, both in points scored, in shooting percentage, in steals, in assists. Across the board, all of his numbers were way down compared to regular season numbers. So, you know, there's a lot of question that goes into that. Is it that he can't handle the big stage? Is it that, you know, he has put too much into the regular season, so he's worn out? Is it that the injury that he sustained very on in the playoffs, was that maybe affecting him more than we realized, and he was just trying to play through it? So, you know, a lot of that kind of things went into that. Certainly not a very good performance by Golden State. In that finals, you had Cleveland up against the ropes. All you had to do was win one game, and you had three tries to do it, and you couldn't close it out. And two of those games were at home, and you still couldn't close it out. But, you know, hats off to LeBron James. Sets a record for the most points scored in a seven-game series ever in that finals. And, you know, the joke that was running around this week was that, well, that's because Michael never had to play seven games. He always won in five or six. Obviously talking about Michael Jordan. But, you know, he, with Cleveland down 3-1, puts that team on his back and just absolutely pushed them to the championship and brings the first championship to Cleveland. You'll hear some people say 64. I say 52, which was when the Cleveland Indians last won a World Series. I do not count the Browns championship that they won before the NFL structured its current championship system. But either way you count it, it has been a very long time since the city of Cleveland has seen a championship. So, you know, a lot of a lot of celebration went along with that, with LeBron James just absolutely, you know, crying tears of joy once that championship had been won. I think he felt a lot of pressure to bring a championship to Cleveland. And really, when you kind of look back on how all of this progressed, LeBron James leaving for Miami may have been the best thing to ever happen to the Cavaliers, because it gave them a number one overall pick that turned into Kyrie Irving, that was, you know, LeBron James' number two, and those two guys absolutely tore it up this finals, and that's the reason why this championship home to Cleveland.
It was really, I'll just say it was really interesting seeing LeBron James get on his knees and you see the tears running down his face. I'm like, wow, okay, I guess you really did want to win.
He really wanted to win. He really wanted to win for Cleveland. He wanted to be the one that finally broke that streak. Cleveland was, you know, if you combine all the sports cities together, was the sports city with the longest dry spell without a championship in the country. He wanted to be the one to break that. He wanted more than anything to bring that championship home to Cleveland. You know, he grew up in Akron, not very far from Cleveland. That's, you know, it is his hometown. It's where he's raised his kids. So, you know, to finally, and all that pressure of, you know, just the media has put on him throughout his entire career to do this, all just, you know, I think came out in that moment. So not only tears of joy of winning that championship, but just, you know, the relief and all that pressure and finally accomplishing all of these things that he accomplished.
Do you have any more NBA news? Even though, yeah, it's the final, I mean, final NBA thing until when is draft season?
Well, the draft is actually happening as we are recording this right now. So that is going on currently. I would kind of like to wait to talk about that next week when it's all kind of done. So we can kind of see, there's been a lot of trades happen tonight and a lot of movement, and it's not done yet. In preparation for draft night tonight, we've had a lot of players kind of opt out of contracts. Dwight opted out of his contract with Houston. Chandler Parsons and Dirk Nowitzki both opted out of their contracts with Dallas. There's been a lot of talk that Golden State is going to come and talk to Dirk Nowitzki and try to convince him to come spend a year there, kind of finish out his career with Golden State. Kevin is now a free agent. There's a lot of question marks about where does Kevin Durant go? Does he stay in Oklahoma City? Does he go home to Washington and play with the Wizards? Does he go to the Lakers and rebuild that team? Does he go to Golden State and play with Steph Curry and Draymond Green? So, you know, there's a lot of question marks. LeBron James is even a free agent. He says he wants to stay in Cleveland. Will that actually happen? You know, so starting tonight through this next week, we have a lot of question marks that will kind of fall into place that we can kind of bundle all together as to why certain decisions were made based off of the draft process.
All right, so let's head on over to the MLB. What you got with the Texas Rangers?
Well, we've got a lot of good and a lot of bad with them this week. They just finished a 20-game run where they did not have a single day off. During that 20-game run, they were able to go 16-4. They won 10 straight series in a row. So just, you know, a pretty amazing feat to do without a day off for the Rangers. But it did not come without some pricey consequences in that Derek Holland has been placed on the 15-day DL with shoulder tightness. Apparently, this is something he has been dealing with since spring training and has just been playing through the pain and just cannot do it anymore. So he is going to go get a little bit of rest, get a little bit of rehab, and then we'll begin a rehab assignment with Frisco here in a few weeks. He will be back probably right before the All-Star game, or right around that time. And then the big blow to the Rangers was Colby Lewis with a right lateral muscle strain has been placed on the 60-day DL. He is not allowed to throw a baseball for at least 4 weeks. After 4 weeks, they will do another MRI and reevaluate him. The Rangers are very hopeful at that time that he can then begin a rehab process, which may take about another month. So you're looking at least 2 months without Colby Lewis, maybe closer to three. And, you know, if this ends up going into the elbow and meaning Tommy John surgery, it may be the end of Colby Lewis, unfortunately. So hopefully, you know, this 4 weeks off of doing nothing will be good for him and he will be okay. But we won't know for at least 4 weeks when they do another MRI and reevaluate him. Now, the Rangers are tied for the most wins in all of Major League Baseball. They have caught up to the Cubs in that regard. So they are tied for the most wins in all of Major League Baseball. And like I said, they've just been on absolute terror. They are currently 10 games up in their division, and it is only the 12th time in club history that before the All-Star break that they have led by double digits. So they are doing well. Houston is now the number two team behind them. Houston has been on a great streak to overcome Seattle. It's just that the Rangers haven't lost a whole lot of games for them to gain a whole lot of games on Texas.
Well, and you could see Colby Lewis just testing his arm after that specific game. And even though he was at the press conference and he said, I'm going to be exercising, I'm going to be getting on my bike, you know, trying to stay active. But you seem to think to yourself, okay, Colby Lewis is getting up there in his late 30s. It's not like he is 21 years old like Mazzara. So what can you expect? He's going to get injured, right?
Well, and here's the thing about Colby. When he was 17 years old, he had Tommy John surgery. And generally speaking, you know, talking in broad general terms, and obviously every person is different, everybody's body is different. If you continue to pitch after having Tommy John surgery, you get about 8 or 9 years before you need it again. And generally, if you need it again, it's either try to pitch without the surgery and play through the pain, or basically give up pitching and find a different way to play baseball or retire from the game. So he had that when he was 17 years old. He's now about, I want to say about 36, and has not had a replacement surgery. So 17, 18, 19 years, somewhere in there, that he has been pitching on the same surgery. Now, he is not, you know, he doesn't throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. His fastball is 88. So it's not like he's a flamethrower kind of pitcher, and that may have something to do with it. He also pitched for several years in Japan, where they have a very different pitching process over there. You only pitch once a week instead of every 5 days. So he has had a different process than a lot of major league pitchers have had. But he is an older guy. He has given a lot of innings to the Rangers since coming over from Japan again. Just a very interesting situation overall. To have the near perfect game, the near no hitter game in the same game, and then to come out the next game and have the muscle strain like that is very unfortunate.
All right, so let's go over to the other side of the MLB that's not affiliated with the Texas Rangers. So what you got?
Well, the Red Sox currently lead the East. They are actually only a couple of games behind the Rangers record-wise. Baltimore is not too far behind them. And then when we look at the other division, Kansas City is on top of that, almost in a virtual tie with Cleveland. The White Sox have had a huge slide. If you remember, they kind of started out this year as one of the best teams in baseball. They're now in third place in that division and continue to slide even more. So I expect the White Sox to start selling pretty soon here. on players so that they can try again next year. But, you know, when we're going to start looking at wild card, because we're almost at the halfway point of the season. Once that All-Star game hits, you know, we get to 81 games. That's the halfway point of this season. We're going to know, you know, who's selling and who's buying, because the trade deadline will be not too long after that. And the Rangers will have hopefully a few days that they, you know, that they can really evaluate what their needs are as far as this pitching goes. But, you know, really expect the wild card race to be a race between Houston and either Boston or Baltimore, depending on who's leading the division, who's trailing in the division, and then between Kansas City and Cleveland. So you're going to have, a three-team race there for those two wild card spots between probably what will be Cleveland and Baltimore and Houston. So it should be a very interesting race down this last half of the stretch. So, you know, Seattle, if they can get their act together and figure something out, they can get right back into this thing too. And as far as things go on the National League side, the Nationals continue to pull away from the Mets. The Mets are having a lot of pitching issues with guys that have just been stellar for them in the past that, you know, have had injuries and just have not recovered very well from those injuries. But they can still compete for a wild card spot. They'll be fighting with the Dodgers for a wild card spot. The Giants are playing absolutely out of their mind. Great baseball right now. They lead their division. They're ahead of the Dodgers in that division. And then the other team with the best record in baseball, the Chicago Cubs, have a six-game lead over the Cardinals right now after being swept by the Cardinals, actually. So the Cubs are in a little bit of a slide, but they had built such a big lead in that division that it hasn't mattered yet. But if they don't course correct soon, the Cardinals could very well catch them. So, you know, a lot of interesting things going on as far as these games are concerned. We've got the All-Star game coming up before not too much longer, and there's a lot of discussion about who will be in the Home Run Derby. Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers, who has won several games this year as a pitcher based on the fact that he hit the only home run in the game, and he's won the game 1-0. So his one home run was the only run scored because he didn't allow the other team to score one, and he hit the home run. So he wants to be in the Home Run Derby as a pitcher. So, that's kind of been thrown out there. The team's owners and management certainly don't want to see their pitchers in the Home Run Derby. But it would certainly be a very interesting thing. It would be real interesting to see who wins these fan votes here, over the next week for who gets into this All-Star game. Currently no Rangers lead their position at all, and that includes Ian Desmond, who has been one of the best center fielders in all of baseball this season.
Any more MLB news?
I think that's it for baseball for right now.
Okay, so do we have any NFL news?
Well, we can play Johnny Watch a little bit. I don't know if you have seen this story yet or not, but Johnny Manziel's car was discovered in a parking garage in Uptown Dallas, and it was totaled. You could see that the airbags had been deployed, that the car was been damaged pretty well, and this is a $115,000 Nissan that he's driving around. And Dallas police later on released a statement saying that Johnny had reported a hit and run the night before, so that he supposedly was hit by a car that then took off. So, you know, it's just another – this is his third hit-and-run incident, too, that he was involved in, one that he is now the victim of. So it's just very weird stories are following this guy around wherever he goes. And then in another very odd story, if you can call it football related, is that of Dez Bryant, our very own Dallas Cowboy, who is being sued by a senator over a house that he rented from a senator in Cedar Hill, Texas. The senator claims that when Dez Bryant moved out, that the place was trashed, that trash and furniture were left all over the house, and feces were all over the house as well, causing around $65,000 worth of damage to this home. And the senator sued Dez Bryant for about $250,000, both in damage and in lost income from not being able to rent the home out to somebody else.
Wow, that is definitely, definitely not good.
No, and, you know, Dez Bryant does own a monkey, so you hope that maybe, I mean, feces is a very odd thing to find in a home for sure, but, you know, you kind of hope that it's the monkeys and not like the kids or something.
Very, 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 very true. All right, what else you got?
I think that's it. I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Actually, no, we missed USA is out in the soccer matches going on right now. What is it, the cup?
It is not the cup. This is qualifiers for the Olympics that they're doing. And it was a little tournament. They did end up qualifying even though they lost to Argentina. You know, playing against Argentina, very big game. Lionel Messi, obviously the captain of Argentina, comes out, scores very quickly in that game. USA ends up losing 4-0. Doesn't even have a shot on goal in the entire game for Team USA. So not a very good showing for them for sure. So they are out of that tournament, but still qualify for the Olympics.
Well, at least they qualified, which is good. Yay! Go USA!
Now we get to watch you lose in the Olympics, too. Yay!
Oh,
I mean, go USA!
Oh, come on! That was below the belt. Oh, my goodness. All right, so is that it? Is all the sports news you got?
Well, and Dustin Johnson didn't win the Masters, so congratulations to Mr. Dustin Johnson. He won in you know, he ended up having to take a penalty shot because he moved a debris out of the way of his ball, and I guess the ball moved, you know, more than a quarter of an inch or something, and so they assigned him a penalty shot. But thankfully, it didn't matter, and he goes on to win the Masters.
Oh, man, for somebody who's so young to be able to do that, I mean, man.
Yeah, and, you know, it seems like every time that we're, you know, we're talking about him, it's something crazy like this has happened. The last Masters, I believe it was, he hit into a bunker that he didn't know was a bunker because it wasn't labeled as a bunker. And so they ended up assigning him a penalty shot for that. And because of that penalty shot, he didn't make the playoff. And Jordan Spieth ends up going on to win that because Dustin Johnson didn't make the playoffs because of this penalty shot. So for him to finally get over that hump is a big deal for him.
All right, so where can we follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at CavemanK, and Caveman is spelled just like Clint, with a K.
All right, Clint, if you could hold the line, I'll be right with you.
All righty.
All right, so coming up next, we'll be chatting with singer and songwriter Ed Roman, and he's going to share with us his new single from his new album, Red Omen. So definitely stay tuned. You are listening to the What's Up Cindy B Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Wayne Brady for the Will Rogers Institute.
Hey, folks, I've got something that will truly revolutionize your life. It's called exercise. It will get you from here to there, allow you to spend time with your family and meet new people, cut inches from your waistline, and improve the quality of your life, even help improve your self-image.
Sexy.
So when you've got to choose between moving around or lying on the couch, choose exercise. You won't be sorry.
For your free booklet, visit WRinstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Welcome back to the What's Up Cindy B Radio Show. I'm your host, Cindy B, and on the line we have a very favorite Canadian of ours, Ed Roman. How are you?
Oh, how are you, Cindy? I'm well, kindly, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I just love having you on the show. It's an amazing voice that you have, and especially the type of music that you write. So what have you been up to?
Well, writing. I mean, you know, putting out this last record, obviously the last 8 or 9 months before that, it's all been part of the recording process. And even before that, over the last, you know, year and a half, writing and gathering the material to put together for that process. But now here we are. It was just released on the 7th, which was just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I've done a bunch of promotional videos for the album and the release. As well, as I mentioned, I'm about to embark on a little bit of a video shoot, and very shortly I will have a video for people for that tune, I Am Love, which is sort of the mantra of the record, hence the red metaphors that are continually running through the songs.
So you mentioned I Am Love. Tell us about that song. What made you want to write this song?
Well, you know, they always say there's a little bit of heaven in the middle of a disaster area. And I think as human beings, we're always going through the quote-unquote emotional bell curve, you know, the conundrums that we face, the elations that we have, the wonderful things that happen, the terrible things. And, you know, I was at a really dark point in my life with a lot of crazy things going on with family situations and just in a bit of a slump. And I needed a mantra. I needed to have some kind of a space, a headspace to be in to get me out of it. And, you know, everybody says to me, so where do you write? You know, where do you have, you know, your zones where things kind of come to you? And it's just like, well, it can be anywhere, but I have this magic bathtub. And, you know, water for me, because I'm a Cancerian, it's just like it's natural for me to find solace in water, a lake, an ocean, a pool, a kiddie pool, a puddle, the bathtub, it doesn't matter. But that sort of, you know, getting into that, well, how do I think about this? You know, how do I, you know, all the things that I'm looking at in the world, because I'm an empath, and as writers, as artisans, we tend to react to those things that are going on, whether they're great iniquities or their injustices or just crying shames when it comes to things people are going through. So it's like the four-letter word pops up, knocks on the proverbial cranium and says, you know, I'm a messenger. And right now it's radical to try to love more than you're capable of, to try to pass on that kind of information, not only to myself, but also to other people. And other people can empower themselves with that idea and that mantra. Because it's, you know, there's so many crazy things, Cindy, going on in the world that we react as humans. It's the fight or flight mechanism, the thing that makes us, you know, jump when aggression happens. And some of the greatest, you know, teachers I think that we have in our historical past have been these passive aggressive and or I'm, you know, not going to, you know, pick up a gun and kill you just because you shot at me. You know, all of that is very hard for people to adjust to because, look, man, people are dying. There's serious things that are going on. But at the same time, how do we deal with it? You know, there's an old, you know, Indian proverb that says, you know, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. And at some point, it's got to stop. Like so for me, that's where that song comes from. And with so many of us dictate, you know, our lives by dogma. And the more important thing is that, you know, your actions speak louder than those words. Those words have been spoken, said, used. It's important to have them. But at the same time, what are you doing now? That's why the song yells out, what are you doing now, right? Like, all of that is kind of like, you know, the same kind of thing. It's trying to push that button and trying to get people to react to it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we're going to hear a little bit on this song, I Am Love.
To be a radical.
So basically, I am already a fan of yours, but this is really awesome.
Kind of funky, huh?
It is very funky, and I kind of hear a little bit of Jamaica in there, your favorite place.
Well, you know, it's like there's a one drop in there. I'm using like a funk one drop in the first. It's like a two-beat phrase, so and then you're feeling the like almost the four on the floor after that. But so you know, it has that. And also in the bass line, too, there's actually three bass lines. There's a chordal bass line. There's that reggae sort of ga-doo-doo, and then there's a slap bass line, too, that's sort of like a rhythmical part that puts all that together to create that kind of a funk underbelly. So, but yeah, you know, it's my Rasta coming through.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, so talk to us about Red Omen. Last time we spoke to you, you were just promoting your other album, Letters from High Latitudes. So what's the difference in this album?
Well, you know, the difference is, I mean, you know, from record to record, you're always going to hear a multitude of genres and feelings. Like, I mean, that's the kind of method to the non-method. I mean, if you put on one album, there's like gypsy tunes or a jazz number or a funk piece, but you may not hear that on every record. You know, this album, it, for me, is different too, because, you know, with tunes like The Wolfman or, you know, I've actually like, you know, built samples, which I've never done before. And for me, that sort of puts it into the quote-unquote, I don't know, for me, I'm always current because I'm alive, but that 21st century sound in that regard. So, you know, but then again, you're going to hear like African stuff with the tune Red Omen, as you're talking about. You know, that's part of like, I grew up playing that music with people. Even my early reggae influences came from people that knew Bob Marley. So all of that, you know, is kind of like the cosmetics of what I don't follow and what I do follow. You know, Cindy, you know me, I'm like, I'm always writing different kind of things, and I never try to like put a label on the process, like, because to me, it's more important that I follow the kind of path that's being shown to me as opposed to trying to force something. And I guess that's what, you know, people get turned on to in listening to the music, is that it has that organic feel. Maybe you wouldn't have thought that today you would be listening to that kind of a number, but you are, because somehow there's that aspect to it that triggers it for you. You know, like somebody said to me the other day, man, when I listen to this tune, it sends a shiver up my back. And I'm like, but that's cool. Like, I mean, they might not dig another tune on the record, and that's okay. I like offering a variety of food at my table, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, you have a little bit for everybody.
I try.
That's really cool. So we mentioned Red Omen. When is that coming out in stores?
Well, it's out now. You can order it now from CD Baby, physical copies, iTunes. It was out on iTunes on the 7th, as well as CD Baby, Amazon. If you go, it's like 50 different places on the net that you can actually get it right now. And, you know, the title of the record, is, I mean, you must realize it's an anagram of my own name. But, I'm fascinated by language, Cindy. You know, you and I are communicators. We're always talking to people and trying to figure out, you know, what's going on inside of a situation, a person, a circumstance. And to me, I've heard some really amazing things being talked about as far as what's happening to our language, as far as it being, you know, condensed and becoming emoticon-like and iconographical. Like, for instance, you and I will flip open our smartphones, click a button, and, you know, whether it's social media or some app that we have, it's computing billions of bits of information for us to be able to communicate instantaneously with video, photography, anything that we want, without us ever having to pick up a pen, you know, like we used to, a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, send it in the mail, wait for a response. all of that has changed so much. And even, you know, I mean, years ago, things were created and acronyms were developed. SCUBA, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, Jacques Cousteau. I mean, now everybody says a scuba tank. They don't say the full thing. But now when we communicate, we'll use an emoticon, and in many ways it will summate a bunch of emotional aspects to how we're feeling without us actually even saying anything. And I think that's kind of what I was getting at with, you know, why the record is what it is. I mean, you know, Red also, like in the front album, sorry, excuse me, is a rooster. It's kind of like, you know, if you open that album and it was an app, you would see the rooster and it's Red. You click it and it's like, maybe it's the wake-up call. Maybe the rooster's trying to say, you know, let's sort of think about our situation. As I mentioned, Red, the word love, is continually running through the record on and off, over whether it's lamenting something or, you know, talking about I am love, you being love, love being the messenger, love being the radical. That Red is a frequency. I mean, people even don't even realize that we respond to colors because of how they look and how we feel when we see them. So all of that is really kind of tied into the record. And somebody said to me the other day, well, it's kind of like a full idea. The record is more of a concept. And yeah, you know, I mean, on average, you open a person's phone and they may only have one or two tunes from a record. But, you know, for me as a listener and a creator of music, I also like to get the reason why those songs were put together. They kind of all belong there for this moment in time. Even if tunes were written, you know, 3 years ago or yesterday, there's something inside of the glue and the cosmetics of it all that makes them go, hey, psst, we kind of are all, you know, here together, so let's put this together in the quote-unquote album, and away you go kind of a thing.
Very, very cool. So, Ed, besides you always writing and promoting your new album, what's next for you?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a bunch of people the other day, and they're like, so when are you coming to New York? When are you coming to Philly? When are you coming to... And I'm like, well, as soon as, you know, the gigs start happening, I'll plan a tour. I mean, I don't know if you know this, Cindy, but I recently signed a licensing and distribution deal with Nub Country Records and also Orchard Records in the UK. So there's some talk of me going to Europe, playing in the UK and stuff. So I'm excited about doing that. I'm excited about getting out on the road, playing this music for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. It's like, man, the last year and a half I've been from, like, Austin to, like, New York, from Texas to New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Boston, all over the place. And I've met so many amazing people. And I guess that's what it is for me as a person, is that experiencing life and doing those kinds of things is fodder for writing. I mean, even the tune Red Omen itself, I mean, you know, I've paid homage to Michael Stover and another buddy of mine, Ken Segrist, and, you know, that's me trying to, like, kind of give back in sort of a poetic way. So my experience with them has been the catalyst for writing those lyrics. You know, so I'm just excited to be, you know, doing what I'm doing and practicing my craft.
Okay, the fact that you get to go to Europe, that is too cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's a bit of a dream. You know, I'm a Slovak boy, you know, and I really want to get back to, I've been saying to my mom for years, come on, Mom, let's go back, and she's getting older, and like, it may happen, but I may get there before her, and I actually do, But, you know, that's an amazing place. I have a friend who's played on the record. He played on Tough Cookie, and he played on The Way She Goes, piano player, friend of mine, Tobias Tinker. And he's been living in Berlin and Frankfurt and all over Germany. He was, you know, for a while just playing in Cirque du Soleil, and then he was actually doing arranging and actually running the show for about 3 years. But the difference, you know, in terms of, you know, culture, it's for me, it's kind of, I love Canada, man. I love being a Canadian. I love this space and the great white north. But also, too, the cultures here are very different in terms of the way they experience art and the way they interact with it. So when you said, wow, that's got to be exciting, aside from, man, the historical value of what Europe represents, I get, you know, people, they're excited for music and people from the Western Hemisphere to come there and play it. So, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited for you, Ed. It's going to be amazing. I mean, you've been around almost around the world. So this isn't something new for you. But the fact that you get to go and perform your craft and just spread your music around the world, I mean, that's really cool.
It is. And, you know, that's, I guess, you know, when you play a show, like, you know, the bunch of dates that I was in New York City, like, okay, so I'm at the Bitter End, I play my set, it's a great crowd of people, people are coming up, buying CDs, they want me to sign autographs, it's like, yeah, that's exhilarating, I get all of that, it's, you know, part of the kid in me that still feels that, but afterwards, too, just talking with people, sometimes I have the most, like, wonderful conversations with people, or even people on the street that, like, you know, aren't even a part of that experience later as I'm walking and there's something that goes on somehow. And I have to say, like, okay, like, New York is the city that never sleeps. It's like there's always something cool kind of going on. And even when there's not, you know, you can be wandering the streets at 4 a.m. singing to people that are, you know, going down to work in the sewers. So it's also, you know, like, I'm alive kind of a feeling. It's that, you know, it gives you that sense of, like, that I'm a kid again. And I guess that's what keeps pushing me to want to do it, because it's, like, not like a drug. It's just the realization that it's, like, this is, like, what I've always wanted to do. And a communicator like you, it's, like, you get excited before interviews. You want to talk to people. And after you have a good interview, you're, like, yeah, that was really cool. And somehow it translates in a multitude of other ways. It's all part of the life experience that makes you go, hurrah.
Yeah, most definitely. So before I let you go, what was it like to produce this album with Michael Jack?
Oh, Michael likes to refer to himself as the invisible engineer. And, you know, he's a really humble guy, and he knows so much. He's one of those people too that's a history buff, and we love talking about so many things. So we click. It's a no-brainer. And I've known Mike since I was about 17 or something like that, when
he was doing
his own studio in another town. But, you know, we are like the Corsican brothers. We kind of let things happen the same way that the writing process happens, and that's what I love about working with Mike. And, you know, we gotta remember, it's like Mike has worked with, like, Bono, and he's worked with, like, Hilary Duff and Oscar Peterson and Rush and, you know, The Trues, Jack Douglas, who was, like, you know, John Lennon's producer. Like, all of that in terms of Mike's stature makes you kind of go, whoa. But because Mike is so humble, you never feel that way. It's like he said, it's the same thing talking to Eddie Kramer, who used to work with Jimi Hendrix and developed Electric Ladyland and stuff with him. So, you know, Mike is a great ear. He played theremin on The Wolfman. He's done some backing vocals. He's like, hey, you want to try this harmony? I'm like, you do it. He's like, no. I'm like, no, you do it. He's like, okay. So I'm in the control room, and he's cutting the vocal, like the backup. And I like that process with Mike. In fact, with every musician that's a part of the process, whether it's Chris Taggart, whether it's Anthony Cook, it was Dave Patel, Mike Friedman, Tobias Tinker, Michelle Rasky, Xander Demos in Pittsburgh, all of the people that are part of that are listening to the organic aspect of what the song is saying, like I said. What do you want? What do you want from me? You know, that's what we're asking, and the song is saying this. And Mike is the same way. He's like, let it happen. And when we do that, the experience is like the kids in the candy store. Well, let's try this, you know. And I may have things like, I have things worked out ahead of time, and I'm thinking, okay, well, the session's going to happen, so, you know, I might get on the Hammond and play for a while, or whether I'm playing drum kit or the bass or the trio cutting something over another ghost track. It's all part of what Mike loves to do. That's his craft. He's been working for years doing what he's been doing. So, you know, it's a privilege. It's a privilege for me to be able to work with him. And like I said, he's so humble. You know, he hasn't disappeared anywhere, you know, with his head anywhere. You know, and that's what makes him real and makes the experience good.
That is awesome, dude. Seriously, really, really, really cool. And I can't express enough how awesome it is that I get to talk to you about your music. I just wish you the best when you go to Europe. think of the little people that, you know, we're behind. Wishing you just success. I mean, that's going to be awesome.
Cindy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I don't forget about the little people. It's like, that's a, you know, my memory is my best friend and my worst enemy. And I always say to people, you know, it's like, people are like, you know, independent music, independent radio, independent artisans, we're really doing something special right now. It's like, you know, radio of yesteryear has come and gone, and what it came out of, how it began, how early rock and roll, the transistor generation, you know, who Wolfman Jack was because of that. All of that is happening now, again, in a new, beautiful way, where it's like, wow, we get to do this, talk like this, play all this different music from all over the world. People from anywhere in the world can listen to it, and it's like, are you kidding me? This is unbelievable that we're doing this. So I see this as a really special time. So it's kind of going to be hard for me to forget about it.
Well, of course, we never want to forget about you, Ed. So for people who want to know more about your music and possible tour dates, where can we go?
Oh, go to edroman.net. You get everything there from my news, the shows that I'm doing, like this lovely show, blogs, podcasts, articles that I've written, videos that are coming out, videos that are up. Get my social networking button, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Check me out on SoundCloud. Check me out on Instagram, you know, and I'm all over the place. Go to CD Baby. They're my buddies. The physical copies are there. They'll send them directly to you. You can get the physical copies from the website. Digitally, it's all over the schmear. So check it out, folks. I hope I make you smile.
Oh, well, you definitely make me smile. Thank you so much, Ed. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, Cindy. My pleasure.
Okay, hold on the line. I'll be right with you, okay?
Yeah.
Always a pleasure having Ed on the show. Oh, my goodness. Seriously, check out his music. Go to his website at www.edroman.net. And it's going to be really cool seeing those pictures on Instagram about Europe for everybody who hasn't been there, including myself. I will be looking at those pictures, and I'm pretty sure everybody in Europe is going to have a blast. I know I would be if I was there. Okay, I want to thank Clint for coming on. Thank you so much for catching us up on what happened in the sports world. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at CavemanK. And of course, guys, be sure to follow us on social media as well. Facebook, www.facebook.com/CindyBRadio, and Twitter at WhatsUpCindyB. And of course, we're on Instagram, CindyBRadio. Again, I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you. I will talk to y'all next time. Bye.